Hi guys, good day to you. Who's online?
Mike.
Mike Hubermans? Hoobzy?
Yes, that's me.
Okay, cool.
Christian Lohmeyer is here.
Sorry?
Christian Lohmeyer.
Hello, Christian. Welcome to the conference, man. Okay, we'll make it waiting for Michael, who should be online shortly. Anybody else apart from Hoobzy and Christian?
Seems not.
Sorry?
Seems to be nobody else.
Okay, let's be patient. I'm sure they'll be along shortly. Okay, Christian, since you're online and since there's nobody else talking right now, I'm just on the list with the idea of putting documentfoundation.org under Silverstripe. What do you think about that?
Well, it's a matter of who will maintain the pages, and they are fine with having it in JIT version control and manually updating it, so I don't see the need for converting it. Technically, it would be no problem, of course.
Well, it's pretty difficult to manage the pages right now. It's not a very, very comfortable updating process. I very well that I've tried it all right for a few pages, but wow, it's a heavyweight geek.
On which system is Document Foundation for the moment?
Excuse me?
Document Foundation, on which system is it now, or is it hard-coded?
Right now it's a set of HTML, PHP pages that's on the documentfoundation.org server, and it's under Git control, so basically you have to download the Git of the site, and then you have to push any changes to these hand-coded pages into the Git, and then you have to log into the server, and then you have to pull the changes from the Git up to the, and then the changes are actually live on the site, so to speak. But it's not easy and comfortable like having it under Silverstripe.
Yeah, it's a pain in the ass. Isn't it better to make the decision in the same time with a system for LibreOffice? So if we are going to...
Hi, Mike.
Hi, it's Michael Wheatland.
Yeah, Wheatbix.
Yes, Wheatbix. I was just on Skype with Narayan. It looks as though the Skype service to call in is not working. Is that correct?
Yeah, I just noticed that. I had to dial into the UK number myself, so. The Skype talk queue seems to be down right now. That was my experience in any case. It's always worked for me just fine.
Yeah. Is there anyone else here? Or?
Yeah, we've got Christian Lohmeyer, and we have Mike Huben. So was there actually a number for India for TalkU? Does anybody know that?
I've got the call numbers up here at the moment. No, there's not.
No. That'll be a problem for Narayan then, I expect. But maybe he'll be able to join in a bit later if he keeps trying. The question is just to keep hitting the button. Have you got him on Skype right now?
I do have him on Skype, yes.
Okay. Maybe just tell him to keep hitting it and ask him if he wants to come on the IRC, on the Document Foundation channel on IRC, then at least we can communicate that way. Maybe.
Yes, okay. Is anyone else logged in through Skype just to be sure that it isn't working? No.
I'm logged in on Skype.
You are logged in on Skype.
Yeah, okay. But not on the talk. Not the TalkU. I mean, I'm logged in on Skype generally, but I'm not connected to this TalkU conference through Skype.
Yes. Okay, all right. If you'll
are we going to wait for people? Yeah?
Yes, I think it's probably best to wait for people, yes.
Okay.
Who are we expecting? So this doodle poll says we're expecting
I thought we were expecting a lot of people, huh?
Yeah, expecting Ivan, Eric, Italo, Narayan, but obviously Skype is out, and Alexei Doshenko, and possibly Alexandro later on.
Well, I guess we can wait a few more minutes, and then maybe if not, then we should try and get on with things. It's a shame that there's not many people here. That's going to make it a bit of a nuisance.
Yes. In fact, I suppose we could have a short discussion, but I think I'd rather, especially if the Skype service is out, do we think that the best thing might be to call it off and or delay it again? I know it's been delayed once before.
Well,
is it just you or me, David, that can talk, or can Christian or Mike talk at the moment?
Okay, well,
Well, I don't know about the quality, but at least I have a microphone.
Yeah, you sound okay.
We can hear you, yeah.
I would suggest that we hopefully Narayan will be able to join us by keep hitting on the Skype talk queue. Is there anybody else? How about on the IRC? Let's see who we've got in the IRC. Well, since nobody's talking right now, can I bring up a couple of little practical points with Christian, since we have him online?
Yes.
Christian, Christian, there seems to be a bit of a problem right now with the version control on the Silverstripe. Attempting to roll back to a previous version of an article is not succeeding for me. Have you any ideas about that?
No, I'm not aware of any problems. Just send the URL of the page and I see what I can do.
Well, the problem is I can't really get like an error. It's just I tried it on a couple of articles, you know, to roll back to just the very last version. You know, I didn't try to roll back to a much earlier version or something like that. I tried to roll back to just the last version, and it just said error, and it just did not succeed. I forget exactly what the error message was, but it wasn't very informative. It just said like error, fail to roll back, or something like that.
Do you have any example? And I'll try myself.
I tried to roll back the localizers page to get involved. I tried to roll back that one, but I did not succeed.
But that did work, didn't it?
No, it did not. I had to post the article. I didn't succeed in rolling it back. I had to post the article all over again.
Hello, everyone. This is Charles Rule. Sorry to interrupt.
Okay, we're getting some. Okay, maybe Christian, could you have a think about that one and maybe check it out, because right now that's not working for me. And I would have a general request on the Silverstripe site. Is there any solution for now? We're going to have a lot more people working on pages, and it would be nice to be able to mark off a page so that one can kind of check it out, so that nobody else then does work on the page and overwrites, and so that we can properly apportion work to different people, and we don't get duplication of effort. Is there a solution for that with Silverstripe?
Well, that's what the workflow module is for. It's just a
matter workload of module.
Workflow, yes. The distinction between editors and publishers. So that editors
workflow.
Can only suggest changes but not publish them right away. So you would have to make that distinction now by policy, that asking people to not publish yourself directly, please use the workflow module to request the publication, and I'll review the changes and then I publish. So if you really want to limit it to a certain group, one would need to set up a separate user group who can edit the pages to enforce the use of the workflow module. Since currently a few people are publishers on the main website, and you could move them to a editors group only. So this would enforce the system, but I'd rather have it by common sense, by agreement on it, and not by forcing it.
I think it's better to enforce some kind of workflow, because, you know, I'm really trying to encourage people to get involved in working on the content. We're likely to have a large number of people working on the content, and we need a solution whereby I can say to one guy, okay, you work on the Y page for business, for instance, and then I would need to be able to, like, mark that off so that nobody else intervenes on that page until the guy's done his work and checked it back in. You see, on Alfresco, for instance, you check out the content, nobody else can touch it, you do your work, you check it back in, and then people can continue working on it with the next, with the next process in the workflow. Have we got something like that on Silverstripe?
There is an access control mechanism that restricts the editor or publication rights to a certain user group. So you could change this per page as well. Instead of inheriting it from the parent or from the site settings, you can set specific editor groups for a specific page, but this involves quite a bit of overhead on the admin side, since you have to create the user group and add the user who is allowed to add it to that group. So it's a bit of maintenance needed, but it's possible.
It seems to me that it would be a logical choice to do that now before we have a very, very large number of users, because if we start accumulating a very big authors group, then it's going to be more complicated. And I'm not really into the idea of giving everybody publisher permissions. I think if we want high quality content and consistent content, then it does need to be reviewed by or a small team of editors before actually being published. I don't think everybody should be able to just jump in, do what the heck they like, publish, and that's it.
David, may I intervene here? This is Charles speaking.
Yeah. Yes, Charles.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. I just wanted to let you know that while I would generally agree with what you're saying, it is also important to recognize that when it comes to specific categories of the website, here I'm particularly thinking about localized pages. We need to give the native languages or the native language teams some slack, in the sense that you will never, I mean, this is my experience and this experience of others, you will never get good results if you're trying to essentially give them, you know, a strict framework in terms of content. However, it is always good to give them, you know, some reference material. In that sense, the English website would be the basic material. But what I'm trying to say here is, you know, I agree with what you're saying, but with a nuance that when it comes to L10N, so localized websites, these things tend to auto-regulate themselves, I would say, because you will have teams of teams, if you will, and you will have, you know, these people making their choice for the content as well as picking the right people. And this is something we've already practiced before. It's something that is actually regulated very well. The only hiccup or the drawback in that situation being that the risk we might be running into is what happens if a localized website does not get updated. But that's a different concern, because that is related to the vitality of that team.
Well, I see what you mean, Charles, but my personal viewpoint on this is that if you want high-quality content and a professional-looking site, then it just will not function properly if you have people jumping in and just editing content in an arbitrary manner. I think you need a more organization and direction in it. I mean,
sorry, may I actually step in, because I think we may be putting the cart before the horse. I know this is a rather important topic in terms of moderation, but looking at it, who do we have online at the moment? So we've got Christian, we've got Mike Coogan, David. Is there anyone else who's joined us?
Yep, got Charles.
Charles, and sorry, who was that?
That was David just talking at the moment.
Yes. Okay, I just finish off what I was specifically saying there, and then I suggest I hand back to you, Michael, and we launch. Launch the conf call in terms of the agenda, maybe.
That would be good.
Okay. Yeah. So, Charles, I'm just saying, I feel that you need, you do need some direction in the website if you want to have professional looking to the project's hopes. Then you can't just have people like jumping in and
I know, but...
You know,
but
you have to have some management.
I agree. What I'm actually saying here is that there will be management, but it will be management that will be, in fact, done, taking into account cultural differences, local realities, and that forth. Do not expect to have per language is 3 to 4 to 5 to 6 people. That's not what I'm talking about. Even if you had that, you would essentially have one leader taking care of this, or at least centralizing, managing, as you said, the contributions. It's always good to provide, as I said, some reference material. And here, the English websites being the reference material by default, not because it's the best, but just because it's there. And if you have people who have no real clue on how to populate their own localized website, then it's fine. You know, they can just translate everything, and everything will be fine. But you will have you will have cultural differences. You will have, just the people react in different ways to different criteria or stimuli. And again, I'm not, I just wanted to know that this is not a mere point of view. This is something that, we had to fight and this is something we witnessed basically for a while. Every native languages or localized websites inside OpenOffice had to have the same templates, had to have the same content. Well, certain things only just changed a little bit, but that was it. And we found out it was actually, to be frank, a complete failure. It was a complete failure, and not in terms of management, actually, but precisely because that it was just impossible to have everyone walk at the same pace. Again, I'm not suggesting that there shouldn't be management. I'm suggesting that when it comes to cultural differences, you just have to delegate that layer, that level, and trust that you will have managers who will do the work for you on these localized websites.
I think maybe we're talking across purposes here, Charles, because in fact I'm talking only about the content on the English website from the viewpoint of the NL websites. I mean, the NL teams, it's explained quite clearly on the localizers page of the get involved section. The policy is basically that each NL team can run its own NL website in exactly the way it wants. It puts up the content that suits its particular community, its particular needs, its audience. But I'm talking about managing only. I'm only talking about managing the content on the English website.
Okay.
This is where I think on the English website, I do think we need a clearly defined management team, and I do think, there needs to be some direction in the way the content on the English website is handled, because if you want to have high quality content, that's the only way to achieve it. Now we look, the release 3.3 has just come out. There's a huge amount of interest in the website and in generally. I'm watching a whole lot of other mailing lists, and LibreOffice is regularly being mentioned.
Yeah, I mean, I know. I mean, I think let's. I would agree with you that we need management, although this has to obviously happen into a community. In a community fashion, but we do need management, and obviously it's true that we do need at least some, someone who, who at some point say, well, the ribbon is cut. Now it's fixed, it's stable. I agree with you on this.
Okay. Michael, maybe we'd better hand back to you at this point and actually launch the agenda.
Yes, I think we better kick off because we are running 20 minutes in already. I suppose let's welcome everyone. I mean, this is the inaugural conference call, and we've already had a few bumps in the road. We've had another bump with the Skype service being out. Somebody's just joined. Who's that? Hello? No? No answer? Okay. Okay, so...
Is somebody going to take notes here, Mike?
Yeah, who's taking notes?
Sorry? Who was that?
Yeah, that was Charles speaking. Michael, who do you know who's taking notes?
I will be taking some notes, but I suppose I'm relying on the MP3 afterwards, so that we can, so that I generally jot down the notes from that.
Okay.
That someone takes the notes, basically. I mean, the minutes of the discussion or whatever decisions of the. It's always good because many people will not be listening, basically, to the call. They just want to have the proceedings, as they say.
Okay. Does somebody else want to do that? Because I've got quite a bit of coordination that I'm doing at the moment.
That's the third part, Michael.
No.
Okay. Well, let's try typing some notes into the IRC and try using that as a medium for the note taking, and maybe we can all jump in from time to time and just type up the issue currently being discussed, and then afterwards we can review the MP3 and fill in with a little bit of extra content on the direction that the discussion took. Maybe is that the wisest thing to do?
That does sound like a good way to do it. Yes.
Okay, Michael. So back to you then.
Okay. So well, I suppose it's good to see everyone is able to finally get together without the Skype. And that's, I suppose, the key message up until this point is we need to work as one team. I know there has been a few bumps on the road so far. And we hope to resolve the questions and differences in view within this conference call. To give a bit of background for people who are listening on the MP3 rather than us, is that the development of the website happened in parallel, one through the shorter term immediate response, which is the Silver Stripe site that we are talking about. There's also another effort made in Drupal. That came as a response to the announcement from Florian to the website list regarding the steering committee decision. There was quite a number of people who were active in that development, and it is still online and available, but it has ceased for the minute. So we don't have people working on that right now. I was quite heavily involved with that, and I suppose since David finished the content, and a big thank you must go out to David for this for entering the vast majority of content onto the website. I've since shuffled my focus over to the Silver Stripe, and that is the message that's come out of the steering committee over the last week, 2 weeks or so. Does anybody have anything they want to say on that topic?
Well, I suggest we all get like a chance to talk and to put in our little 2 cents. Who wants to start the ball rolling? If nobody else particularly wants to start the ball rolling, then I would suggest that I would like grab the first slot, and then after that, everybody else could speak from there. I don't know how you feel about that.
Sure.
Yeah, go ahead, David.
Okay. Well, I've been reading what's been said in the lists and you know, over recent time. First of all, I would like to define what the website team is in my personal point of view. Huh? what the website team is. For me, the website team is an entity that works for the project and as such works for the steering committee and is there to implement the policies and the decisions of the steering committee. We're basically there to offer a service to the project, and we therefore offer that service to the steering committee. So, you know, I think we have to get it clear who we work for, and I also feel that, you know, we should not cultivate any ideas that the website team is some kind of a sub-community with an independent life of its own within the project. Otherwise, you know, we can't function effectively like that. Having said that, I'd also like to define what a member of the team and a member of the community is. I see the community being divided into two categories of members. We have active members and we have passive members. Active members are people who actually contribute work to the project, and passive members are people who monitor, track, and provide feedback, but who do not provide work as such to the project. Now, I agree to involve people as much as possible, but I think that the key decisions should basically be taken by active working members more than anything else. Okay, I think I've said my bid there. I'll hand over to somebody else.
Would anybody else like to pitch into that or have any views on that specific topic?
Go ahead, Michael.
No? Okay.
Are we talking about this type and grouper, or what is a member?
No, sorry.
Okay, a member. A member of the community is somebody who does work within the community. Somebody who's a member of the community. Now, I'm not talking about Drupal or Silverstripe. I'm talking about the LibreOffice community. After that, whether you talk about issues of Drupal or Silverstripe or whatever, I don't know. That's something completely different. Me personally, I work for the LibreOffice community. Does that help?
Yes, yeah. It does. Yeah, I suppose what you're saying, David, is that it has been a bit there has been a view out there regarding the I suppose the parallel development of the two different goals, which was the longer term development that was happening on the Drupal side of things, as well as the short-term Silverstripe. There was a feeling out there that there was a bit of introversion, so that people felt like, I suppose I'll just come out and say it, people felt like the Drupal team were working as a team within a team rather than working for the community. I think that view is incorrect. However, I suppose there is always going to be, as David is suggesting, that there will be people who come into the community with ideas and new scopes of work, but we just need to coordinate how we manage those ideas. Is that correct, David?
Basically, I think we have to remember that we're a community of the LibreOffice project, and then after that, obviously people, you know, we want people to come in with ideas and stuff like that. And we want things to be discussed, but we do not want people kind of getting the idea that we have different communities within one community, so to speak.
Yes,
that's basically what I'm trying to put across, if you see what I mean.
Michael, can I just completely ruin David's arguments? But actually, I'm not. You ruin it. I'm just. I just would like to provide perhaps a better or more, just like to clarify a little bit. First of all, I don't know if Michael has finished, but maybe I could jump in at this stage.
Please do.
Okay. So I actually do have a very quick question for you guys. Or did any one of you already contribute to an open source project other than LibreOffice? This is no trick question. I just want you to know.
Well, my answer is no. No,
okay.
I haven't.
My answer is yes. I was involved. I was involved in a project for a very long time. Yeah.
Okay.
This is not my first experience.
Okay. So. What I'm about to say I'm just going to attempt to provide an explanation of, what we mean, what we, as in general, not the Document Foundation, but in general, what we mean by community contributors and those notions. The theory that I'm putting forth here does not come from me. You can consult it. It's from Simon Phipps. If you ever heard about this person, Simon Phipps was a high executive officer at Sun Microsystems and one of the open source luminaries. Now he's chairman of the OSI. If you ever went to opensource.org, well, that's the guy. You know, he actually provides. You know, he has the stamps, and he has the stamps to say, well, this is an open source license. This is not an open source license. So anyway. Basically, it's pretty good that we can speak English because I'm going to use English historical terms here. Software and free and open source software can be roughly explained as a British-style commons. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I think most people do, yeah.
Okay, so basically it's that field that belongs to the village, or it doesn't belong to the local lord or to the sovereign or to whatever duke or to whatever corporation. It's just the commons of a village. Well, free and open source software essentially are digital commons, and they work that way. Around the commons, everybody can essentially benefit from them. It's for the entire community. And when you're talking about the entire community, you're actually talking about quite different people, even when it comes to actual commons. So in the medieval or Renaissance commons or the Elizabethan times, you would find that everyone could actually benefit, that is, feed on the commons, but they were obviously cultivated for the greater good. However, the people who could actually benefit from that were all different. In fact, you could be a child or you could be a very old person and still benefit from the commons. But the others could be more or less involved. And that, essentially that was, the roles were defined pretty much about the way, about the role and the involvement you had with the commons. Well, with free and open source software, it's pretty much the same thing. You have essentially a different communities. David said, well, I don't want to split the different communities and all that. I'm actually not talking about that, but I'm just like to describe a little bit how things work. You have, that's one possible matrix. There could be others. You have three concentric circles of community. It's a little bit theoretical, so bear with me. You have, like, right at the core of the commons, the ones who are harvesting and working on the commons, and these are the developers. These are the ones who work at the closest possible of the code. They work on the code. Then you have a second kind of community, or a second kind of second level circle. These are the extenders. The extenders might be the localizers. They might be, the people doing marketing. But, I mean, real marketing, that is, they could be working on the websites. They could be working out the messages, doing the banners, et cetera, et cetera. And then you have a third circle. The third circle is the passive circle. You can call it the users community, because pretty much what they're doing in the end is that they consume or they're using the commons. And it's fine, you know. So you should never lose the notion that anyone can actually, be part of any circle he or she chooses to. So basically, you could be a simple user, and if you actually study or if you actually want to get involved, you can become part of the extenders community or the core developers, the developers community. Or you can actually say, I'm sort of done. I have something else to do, and I'm becoming a user again. I can still benefit from this very same thing, but I'm not involved actively. On top of that, so that's the description. That's the theory. Now, when it comes to how a project or open source or an open source project is managed, so to speak, we have to be very careful in the notion of management, because I don't get the feeling that we are all involved in an open source project to be managed. I know we have there are people who have the title of community managers. This is pretty good, but I don't really like that term. However, there obviously needs to be some sort of coordination. And essentially, as long as the freedoms and the rights of the users are respected, the way things are being done most of the time is that the people who code, or the people who do the most, rather, are the people who gets the power or the merit. So when it comes to management, the management questions really only applies in a sense to the extenders community. Why? Because we do know how to essentially grow a software development process in an open source way. This is something we know, and this is how you can call an open source, free and open source software project. But when it comes to marketing, when it comes to websites, when it comes to documentation, these things tend to be less clear. Less clear because you can have, projects that run on a full collaborative scheme. They can be extremely collaborative projects. Others will be much more closed down. You will have people say, the documentation team is this teammate of 5-6 people, period, Or you will have the complete opposite. But generally speaking, it's true that people think of open source projects as being collaborative projects. In general, that's what they are, but they don't have to be collaborative projects. In the end, the challenge for any open source project is to define who are the constituents of the open source project. True, you can have corporate sponsors, but let's leave the corporate sponsors out of the loop. You want to have and you want to define who your constituents are based on their merit. And this is how every open source, every free and open source software project have this notion of being a contributor. That tends to overlap what David was explaining about when he was saying about, when he was talking about active versus passive contributors. So this is pretty much, we sort of define a general framework in our community bylaws at the LibreOffice project saying, there's the contributors and then there's the rest of the people. You might still call them community, they're the community of users, or they're just people who contributed something, but, they're not really interested in joining, or they're not that active. So basically, when you're working in this sort of framework, there are things that are clear or agreed on, which is you can have coordination, you can have collaboration. Dialogue is important, but ultimately, I still have to witness any open source project which is democratic. And this is something that can be shocking, but in fact, you know, there's only one project that comes close to this, that's the Debian project, but the Debian project is really an extremely limited democracy, which is limited to a specific numbers of constituents, and those constituents being not just developers, but the Debian package maintainers. So, yeah, did that clarify things, or did I just confuse every one of you?
No, I think that was quite a good introduction for those people who have not been involved with an open source project, in depth before. And it gives us, quite a good segue into one of the topics that's listed in the agenda here, and that is essentially what is our scope and goals. So I suppose that allows us to start getting ideas together as to what we want to do as a website team. And I suppose the key here is that interface between those three levels of community that you were talking about is the website team, I suppose, aims to encourage discussion and interaction between the developer level, the extenders level, and ultimately to the users. And we have been focusing on the users aspect of it up until this point, but moving forward, we're going to have to start building some tools in order to properly coordinate between the developers being able to get that information quickly and easily between the developers and the extenders, and also communicating that information out to the users. That was quite a good introduction. And so in terms of scope for the team, does anyone have any other feelings on that, now that we've had that introduction?
Yes, if I may pursue, but obviously others can jump in.
Yes, go ahead. Yeah.
So I think that for convenience, or for, you know, I think just for material reasons, we could actually come up with a pretty, you know, in a pretty easy way, pretty simple way. We could define the scope of the website, and here we're talking about the LibreOffice.org website, as the one of the possible entry gates to our community. What this means is that the website is essentially focusing on the product, and basically ways to access other parts of our communities. For instance, the website can point to the development interface. Let's call this the development interface, which is currently hosted by the Free Desktop project. So you basically can access, you know, they can have a page where we tell you, well, you know, here's the source code, and here's how you can, here's where it happens, here's what you can do to grab the latest the latest build, et cetera, et cetera. So it's some sort of certainly a marketing tool, and I think that's a central notion. And something which is a facilitators for the communities. But I think, if that's a very personal opinion, but I think it's shared by many people, I think it's very important that the tool should be, how should I say this? The tool should comply or should serve the community, and it should be built for a community. The community should not be organized
around it all.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Okay.
You see, I see us as you know, the website team. The website is there to serve the community, but the website is not necessarily there to organize and direct the community.
It's only to give them a tool to work together.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, so sorry, go on.
I don't know if anyone read my mail I sent this afternoon about my thoughts for the website.
No, you better tell us now, Mike, because probably a lot of people didn't get to read your mail.
I sent it because normally talking English shy, it's a little problem. But I think the main domain, main site, LibreOffice.org, for the moment should be the product placement, and I don't know who said it, be the gateway to get involved to the project. And afterwards we have the tools, the wiki, the mailing lists, the forums, and the free desktop and all these other things. But for me, for the moment, I think we have for the website, for all the websites, we have the main purpose of for a website, for LibreOffice.org, is to sell is not the right word, but to sell the application, to give the customer a way to buy it. And for the moment, it's like documentation about the program, and it's how I say it, it's too many goals one side has to achieve. In my studies, I learned the best website has only one goal, but you can make some sub-sites where you are putting more focus on each thing, each who said this, extenders or something like this.
That definitely makes sense. Yes.
I have a little reply to that, if you like.
Yeah, if you don't understand me, say it, because it's...
I understood you perfectly. No problem there. I understood what you're saying. I mean, we're talking about the website team being there to sell a product, and... in my very humble opinion, we're not doing a very good job of that right now. We are not working as a team, and we are not coming through with our mission. You know, the 3.3 release went out yesterday. In to the 3.3 release, there were very, very few people actually contributing work to the website, even though there's a lot of work to be done. And here we are straight after the 3.3 release. There's enormous interest in the product. There's a real buzz, the same kind of buzz we had when the project first launched. And here we are soul searching and trying to figure out what is our mission and what is our role in life, whereas in fact we should be working on the website. We should be developing that content. We should be making adjustments to take account of the comments and the feedback and the reactions we have coming in from the community. You know, we shouldn't be searching our souls. We should be doing some work here. Okay, I'm finished.
Yes, I completely agree with you, David. I suppose the key is to get the website team working in the same direction. I suppose we'll come to we'll definitely come to that doing later on, but I'd personally love to work out these issues in terms of scope and goals and stuff like that initially. So obviously selling the product.
Tell us,
Mike,
what do you think the goals are? What do you think our scope should be? Let's hear your piece on this. Let's hear your thoughts on this.
Sorry, you're after my view, are you, David?
Yeah, that's right. I'd like to.
Well,
Mike, about Bix. Yeah, Wheat Bix.
Yes. In terms of my point of view, I definitely think that the website is there to sell the product. However, I think it's definitely our responsibility to set up those tools to interface between different sections of the community. Not necessarily setting up rigid structures or certain ways of working, but to provide the tools that each section of the community needs to work with the other sections. I suppose in terms of the goals for the website team, I have noticed that all the parts of the community are essentially working independently at the moment. We've got a marketing department which are quite active in terms of developing promotional material, organising launch type of activities. We also have a design team who have their way of tracking their jobs. And I believe it's a key part for the website team to build the tools that allow each of these systems to interact in a way that's very fluid, so that anybody, say from the website team, can approach the marketing team and say, I need this to happen. Is there somebody in order to complete this section of the work that I'm doing? Is there anybody that would be willing to contribute to that? And I suppose that's where I see the website team going in the longer term. Definitely in the short term, it's about marketing the product, getting the website up. As David has said, we do need to get it up, get the information up as accurately and as marketable as possible. And that's definitely the short-term goal, but I see the long-term goal as not necessarily a community building, but community enabling, if that makes sense.
Sure, yeah, that makes sense, yeah.
Yeah. All right. I suppose I'd like to kind of delve... Sorry?
Go ahead, Mike.
Yes, yeah, so I'd like to delve into
Hello.